There's a beautiful spirit in the room. It's the spirit of God. There's a move taking place right now. There's a wind blowing in this place. My prayer is you don't get left behind. Let this wind carry you along into a new life, a transformed life, a life of service, a life that is given to the Lord, a life that bears much fruit. And Apostle, thank you so much for this conference. Thank you for throwing open the gates for so many to be blessed and impacted by your ministry.
Amen.
And I'm so blessed to be here to be a partaker of this great.
Father,
thank you so very much for this morning, for this gathering. Thank you that you are here enthroned in the praises of your people, and that this assembly, this gathering is unto you. Take the high place, O God. Rule and reign in the affairs of men this day. Lead us on the path you choose. Let your words come forth clearly. Suppress every human opinion. Cancel every human logical conclusion. And let your divine word be preeminent. Thank you that this is your doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We praise and honor your holy name in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say a fantastic thank you to Apostle. It takes a special anointing to call a gathering like this. There are many meetings, and some of them God is not there, but clearly he is here. Lady Reverend, thank you so much for being a beautiful hostess to us. We are very happy to be here. Bishop Clufio, God bless you.
Bishop Clufio,
it's always good to be with you. All other pastors, I have not met you, but we are together in this. A Nigerian one said, if we are family, we will meet. So
we'll
meet today or another time, but we will meet. And I salute all the pastors who are here this morning, and also my son who traveled to join me for this beautiful conference. This morning, life is a continuum. Every day runs into the next. There is no one day that is set off by itself. And so we are continuing where we left off yesterday. And I said yesterday, you've got to be anointed. I didn't hear any amen. Oh, this is a new batch. Yesterday's batch didn't come. Your church is shifting cultivation. You've got to be anointed. Don't think it's for us pastors and reverends. You've got to be anointed. Some of the most fantastic testimonies I have of God's move are for students in writing exams. So don't think that God's move is only for pastors, it's for all of us. Tell your neighbor, you need the Holy Spirit. I think this morning you didn't have breakfast. telling you, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing. Without it, you are useless. Let me prove it. How many have ever learnt for an exam? You really learnt. When the results came, you barely passed. Can I see your hand? You learnt. You learnt. You didn't joke. And when the results came, you almost didn't pass. Or I didn't want to say you failed, but I'm being polite. Yeah. It's not by might, not by power.
What
and
say?
How many went into an exam? You hadn't learned, you fooled around. Then somehow you passed. And the grade was far better than you are giving yourself. But by my spirit, says the Lord. And so this morning, my prayer is you will desire and seek the anointing. Especially in these season where we are growing our church. And thank you for that beautiful testimony about branches. Apostle can't be everywhere. That's why there must be branches. And not just branches, but branches of a certain quality that carry the same spirit as the apostle. Otherwise, you will not bear the same fruits. My interpreter has gone to town.
Hey, no. I was disturbing the camera. Now I'm sorted. Thanks.
But branches are key to the growth of churches. And tell your neighbor, I think you look like a pastor of at least 10 people. No, you didn't say it well. Tell your neighbor. And tell him, I think you could be the pastor of at least 10 people. And if by mistake you shook my hand, you are hooked. But listen to this morning. I have to be honest with you. It's hard to get the anointing. Elijah asked Elisha, what shall I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. You've asked a hard thing. I mean, you want me to give you 1 million rand? As an offering. You've asked a hard thing. But it's possible. And so this morning, I want us to see how to. Thank God for yesterday. Apostle showed us the books by the prophets. Oh, and I have to acknowledge the prophet. It's impossible. You see, even when I forget, you come back to the prophets. He is their foundation of everything we do.
There's
I can never go far from him because he has given us ministry and even life. And this morning, let us salute the prophet Bishop Doug Heward Mills, my spiritual father.
Bishop Doug Heward Mills,
my spiritual father. And I said yesterday, Apostle was taking us through the books he's written about the anointing, 8 books in all. There's 1, Steps to the Anointing. Series of steps, how to get to the anointing.
Different.
If you are going to where? the airport from here, I am sure there are many routes.
You
can go here or here or even here and go around and get to the airport. Likewise, there are very different ways to get to the anointing. And some are easy and some are a bit more difficult. This morning, I want to hopefully show you one of the easier routes. One of the easier routes to get to the anointing. Shall I tell you? By inheritance. By inheritance. You see, if we are asked to name two great prophets in Israel, out of, I'm sure Elijah would be one of them. And also Elisha. These two would be certainly featuring among the top prophets of Israel. Now, Elijah was a mysterious person. We don't know where he came from. He just appeared with a wild prophecy, no rain. I mean, if you're going to land, start gently. Prophesy against headaches and backache. You're not with me.
Yes, I'm with you.
You are with me. Should I leave you and go, or I should wait for you?
No.
Okay. You see, Elijah didn't land with a gentle prophecy. I'm testing the waters. He came, bam, I'm here. I'm Elijah. So he was a prophet. Now Elisha was a businessman. And he's somebody who, when we meet him, he's farming with 12 yoke of oxen. So 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. That was how we first meet Elisha. And then next meeting with him is 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. Jehoshaphat asks, is there not a prophet of the Lord? And they said, there is Elisha, son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And my final scripture for this introduction is 2 Kings 2:12. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father. You see, this morning I want us to look at the easy routes. Easy is the relative. Easy route to the anointing. And it is by inheritance. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. You can become a partaker of an inheritance. What's an inheritance? It is basically to get something you didn't work for. Somebody worked. And you got it. I mean, my son is here. He has worked for barely 3 years or 4 years. 6 years. He just finished school. He said 6 years ago. I don't But he has a house that he didn't work for. Ask him, but do you have a house?
Which I didn't know, or on to now.
And you see, he drove a car he never bought. His father bought a car.
Papa,
Bishop, if you understand my situation. We are brothers.
Hey, Bishop, if you want wishes.
Because inheritance is to get something your father got.
Oh,
and it passes down to you with virtually no effort of your own. One of the incredible stories is in the prodigal son, who said, "Father, give me my share." And he got it. And he took it. And he went away. He didn't do anything. He just asked and got his share. So, getting something by inheritance is very, very nice. It's called nice and easy. May you get the inheritance, the anointing by inheritance. May everybody here receive an inheritance. But that is not the full story. Because I didn't give you a house. I didn't buy you a car. And I won't. I don't think I'll buy you a phone. A phone and a car is, there's a vast difference in wealth, in cost. Am I biased? This is the reality.
Second need to say,
what I may do for my son, I very unlikely will do for you. No matter how much you beg me, no matter how much you smile and show me your nice teeth, I will not give you my house or my car. But guess what? He has an elder brother who also got a house. But still not you. Still not you. And guess what?
Bona se.
He has a younger brother.
Ona le moratwa.
Yeah, who get a house? But not you.
Empa sing wena.
What am I saying this morning?
Na kere misonge.
Unless. Until you become a son, you'll never inherit anything. You will not inherit. Amen. You will not inherit. And so the easy part is to get the anointing by inheritance. Now the difficult part.
Hey,
how to be a son? How to be a son? Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant. And so this morning I want to show you the progression, how to get to inherit something. And in this case we are talking about the anointing. Let me start by saying there are two extremes. There's the son who is a candidate to inherit. For nothing he has done but by being a son. And at the far side, at the beginning, is the servant. And that servant is the one who doesn't inherit. But not yet. But not yet. And so this morning, I want you to understand that the journey to, and you see, then there are those who are outside. Those who are outside their house, there's no hope for you. There's no chance to inherit at all. And so this journey to the anointing, let me tell you that it begins by being a servant. Let me tell you something. You may not believe me, but it's true. Being a servant is not a demotion. It is the beginning of a great journey to becoming a son. Being a servant, many of us by nature, by upbringing, by experience, we reject the title servant. It's almost an insult. And the last thing we want is to be a servant. And maybe our history has made us also sensitive. We are hypersensitive to that word servant. And so our aim is to get as far away from servanthood. And any attempt to make me a servant is to demote me, diminish me, despise me, and make me unimportant. I think the room is very quiet now.
Hey, lohumochi good.
So we automatically reject the word servant.
And if
somebody so much dares to add the word servant to your glorious name, even we who are not strong will fight. Because you have lowered me way, way down. And so the last thing I want is to be a servant. But it is the beginning of the journey to the highly sought after anointing. Because Elisha was a businessman. He was not a prophet at all. But he served Elijah. He was known as the man pouring water over his hands. And that's how he became the great prophet Elisha. Servanthood is not a demotion, but the first step to your promotion. And devil has managed to make us allergic servants. He has managed to make us reject servants. And he has made us all desire to be bosses and leaders. But the anointing doesn't flow sideways.
It only
runs downwards.
From
the head to the beard, down to the hem of
the coat.
You want to be a boss. You never get the anointing on apostle. You never get it.
I'm not
cursing. Am I cursing anybody? I'm sorry. But I will say what I said again. If you are a co-equal to an apostle, Shabakataya, you never. Unless some witchcraft has come that draws the anointing sideways. But I've not seen that wind yet.
Yeah.
You must be underneath him. Even the word underneath him sounds demeaning.
How
can you call me? Where's my big friend there?
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Come, yeah. My big friend.
Yeah,
my big friend. How? I mean, look at this big man. How can I put you under this man? You are bigger than him. So it's like, and you see, to be a servant, I mean, I should be underneath this man.
I don't
like the sound of it. It doesn't sound well. I mean, I can rub shoulders with him. I mean, you're even taller than him, I suspect. So we have been set up actually to be anti-anointing receivers. By virtue of what we have been taught and brought up. I mean, I don't know, but maybe in some cultures we say daddy easily. But to acknowledge him as superior, that apostle, you are higher and better and greater than I am. Some of you cannot say it. Some of you cannot articulate. It's offense. Not is it offensive? It's offensive to you to say that he's better than me. What do you mean? Am I less than him? Is his tribe better than my tribe? Is his job better than my job? Why is he better than me? That's the stumbling block. And until you can overcome this stumbling block, and to begin with, you are outside. You are not anointed. Nobody here has anything near to what apostle has, unless I'm mistaken. I mean, am I mistaken? Any challenger? Any challenger? No challenger. This is apostle. Everybody is outside. You know, I'm a visitor. I'm going back to Ghana after this. So. But I suspect that nobody here, your anointing is anywhere close to this man. I suspect.
Am I right?
So we are outside. Now we are trying to come inside. Thank you. And to enter into my house. Either you are a member of my household, or you are a close friend. And let me tell you this. The only stranger, the only stranger
who will enter my house is a servant. Either a carpenter,
a plumber,
a mason. Can I tell you something? Even some of my friends have never entered my bedroom. My carpenter goes there regularly. My carpenter enters my bedroom regularly. I mean, I have very close friends in ministry. They have not gone beyond the living room of my house. My plumber enters my bedroom, goes into the toilet, and is there alone. So to enter, to begin the journey of inheritance, you've got to be a servant. I'm sorry, bad news. I'm sorry, but you've got to be a servant.
And
if it's too hard for you,
Apostle,
I can think the doors are not locked. They can go out. Yes. If you can't handle this message, you've got to be a servant. You're in the wrong place. Because I'm a servant who became a son of my father. And so to begin with, this morning, you've got to be a servant. Who is the servant? Let me give you some signs. Let me tell you something. If you can't see these signs in your life, no matter what you say, you're not a servant. You can call him apostle, dear apostle, greater apostle, father apostle, daddy apostle. If you don't see these signs in your life, I mean, you can be the worship leader, thank you for a beautiful, beautiful song. But if you don't see these signs in your life, you are an outsider worship leader. I mean, young men who are sitting behind apostle, I hope you're saying that you can tick the list, tick, 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 tick,
yeah,
as I'm going through. If you don't have almost all over all, press eject. I don't belong here.
Yeah.
My time is running. Let me.
Hey.
Signs of a servant. Number one is the lowest job requires humility. Jesus humbled himself to become a man. Philippians 2.
Philippians,
he humbled himself. You've got to humble yourself. If you are proud, you are out. If you are proud, you are out. Who is proud? When you are proud, you know you are proud. You look down on us. You equalize yourself with us. If you are proud, you are out. You've got to humble yourself. I don't have time. I can't go through all the details, but the point is clear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
As I go on, they will explain themselves. Number two, you must acknowledge him as a master.
Malachi
chapter 1 and verse 6. And Jesus said, if I am a master, if I am a master, you must say, I have a master. Who is a master? Luke 5, verse 4. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought.
And Simon answered
and said, Master, we have toiled all the night.
Simon Araba Aremunga Kamorena
and have taken nothing.
Aratswara Silo.
I mean, I've worked, I've done everything and got nothing.
Kid releasing when listening on Maraga Kreya Silo.
Nevertheless,
because you say it.
I,
as a man with a master, can be told what to do. What to do? If prophet, if apostle can't tell you what to do, believe me, I am not a young man. That's my sitting here. I'm old. I'm not old, but I'm older than many of you here. But Bishop can tell me what to do. When I was coming here, I asked his permission. Had he hesitated or not said anything, I wouldn't be here. I'll send you a nice apology. I have a program clash. Something has come up. My left hip. I'll send you a nice apology. But a man with a servant can be sent and told what to do. My son was going on missions. And he was going to, he was coming to Cape Town actually. And then one day, I got a WhatsApp. You know a WhatsApp, a text message from the prophets. One word. Madagascar. You know where my son is? Madagascar. No more Cape Town. At that time, I knew Cape Town. I'd been there several times. I had no idea what Madagascar, I had no idea. It's a cartoon I know on the film. But a word from my father was enough. Madagascar. He has been there for the past 7 years now.
Yeah.
A servant has a master. A servant, number three, can be sent. He can be sent. I can ask you, please go here and do this for me. Those who say that I'm also busy, I'll see about it. We are looking into it. You are not a servant. I mean, we can't send you. It says also, I'm going very fast. It says also, they cannot be inconvenienced. There was a man who had a great feast. Luke chapter 14. And he sent his son, he sent his servants, go and call the guests. They went and came. Excuses. Go again. And they went. And they came back. There is still room. Go again. That's a servant. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 43. And he said to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. And the servant came and said, I didn't see anything. And look, 7 times, the same message. The same errand. Many of us, by the third time, when you go, you won't come back. I said, by the third time, please go and meet my friend at the airport. He's not there. Okay, please go again. He hasn't come yet. Please, I beg you, go the third time. He's not there. The fourth time, you will not come back. Because now you are being inconvenienced. Don't you know I'm also a father? Don't you know I also have a church? Don't you know men also call me daddy? I'm also a a person where I come from. But a servant cannot be inconvenienced. He will never say, I'm tired. He's always ready. Whatever. When I landed,
I
arrived. Today is what day? Today is Saturday. I arrived Thursday. I told the apostle, I'm ready. Are we going straight to a meeting?
Conference.
I heard the conference starts on Thursday. So I came ready. From the airport to the conference. Apostle, whatever you say, we are doing it.
Straight to conference.
A servant is unable to be inconvenienced. Whatever you say, that is it. We'll do it. But if it's like we are meeting tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow is Sunday afternoon, you know, Sundays it's family time, you know.
And
Sundays, no, my father has called me for a meeting, so Sunday I've got to go to the village to see my father. And I'm sorry to inconvenience you. But that's the sign that you are not a servant. That's the sign that you are also walking your own walk. You are going your own way. But a servant. I mean, there's something called the waiting ministry. You don't ask apostle, when is the meeting? You just sit down.
No do.
And wait.
Why am I? Waletela.
And wait.
Waletela.
And wait.
Waletela.
And while you are waiting,
you
better smile.
Oh,
you better smile and be happy waiting. You don't scowl and say, oh, No. Yeah, I mean, you don't sit down. We are waiting. We are waiting for the meeting. You gotta be kidding. You sit down. Then you relax. Apostle, take your time. When you're ready, call us. We are waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you busy?
Oh, yeah.
Me? The answer is I'm very busy. But the answer now is, Bishop, Apostle, I got nothing to do. I'm here waiting for your instruction. When you are ready, call us. We are waiting patiently and happily, sitting down, doing nothing.
Big men,
busy men doing nothing. Because we are in the presence of our master. You can't tell me rehearsal at 2 o'clock. You say 2 o'clock, you know, I close work at 1:30, I can't get there. Hey, if you want to, you can make it.
Oscar,
my bishop tells always there are no only excuses. Everything a man wants to do, you can do it.
There
a man who wants to do something, he will find a way.
You
don't have a house, you don't have a room, you don't have accommodation. You can find a place to sleep with a girl. You will find a place to sleep with a girl. Because you will make a room for it. Amen. I hope you are taking that. I'm here. Apostle, you can call me anytime, midnight. You know, I remember one night I was in my house about 11:30, 12. Then I got a call. Prophet is on the way. He said there's something. Car. Hey, I said, don't finish the sentence. I'm in my car. I'm driving. No, I mean, it was night. He said he was traveling from Cape Coast to Kumasi. I don't know what is comparable. Cape Coast to Kumasi. And somewhere on the route, he had a puncture or something. I said, don't finish the sentence. I'm gone. And I drove about 2 hours in the night looking for my bishop.
Yes.
I mean, I'm inconvenienced. You are joking.
I was actually
very happy they called me. I was proud that in the night, wake me up to go and drive looking for my bishop. I said, I was so happy. I said, listen, thank you for this opportunity to go and change his tire for him. Thank you for the opportunity. And I drove in the night looking for him. I missed him by 2 inches. You, a servant, cannot be inconvenienced. They can never do something that is an irritation or an... No. Then you are not a servant. Then you are an outsider. You are an independent person working his own work. Elisha, he poured water on the hands of Elijah. One of the interesting things is Jesus, when he fed the 5,000. It was a huge park. I mean, for 5,000 men to sit down.
Yeah,
it must have been a big place.
And
when he finished, he called 12 guys.
Go
around and pick up all the pieces. If you were there,
you'll
say, pardon? How far? Here? Where? He says, everywhere. Jesus, do you know how far the last man was sitting? I know. I mean, you know how people, when they are eating, they drop crumbs and they drop pieces everywhere? I know. And we should go around, me, Peter with my wife. He had a wife, by the way. Peter, I have a wife. I have two. I should go around picking up fragments on the floor over a large area.
Jesus
said, yeah. That's what he said. And they did it.
Maybe
I suspect some people would have gone.
Away.
They would not come back. They are not servants. They are outsiders. You can't be sent. Number five. I don't know what number is it now. Number five. A servant does unimportant jobs.
If
I call you to come and sit right here by Apostle, why not? Anybody will be happy to come and sit right here.
It's an important,
very, very nice position.
Yeah,
but can they ask you to stand at the door? Can they ask you to hold the tray and follow me? You know, Apostle, they'll see me. They're looking at me. They are wondering, what am I doing here? You are proud. When you are thinking what they are thinking. You know, Apostle, I know you need somebody to help you. There's a young boy by there. Let's call him. Come here, hold your tray for you.
Because a servant
can do unimportant jobs. Listen to this. 2 Kings 5. When Elisha spoke to Naaman came looking for healing.
And he was a great man. I mean, he was an army general. In our African settings, army generals are the generals and the big men of society. And when he came to Elisha, Elisha didn't even come out. He said, go and bath. Bath properly 7 times. And he said, what do you mean? I mean, what are you talking about? And he walked away. Listen to this. And his servant came near and said unto him, my father, if the prophet had said to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? As for great things, you will do it. I want somebody to come and stand by me on stage. That one, you have volunteers. If all the seats were front row, free for all, sit where you like, the front row will be full immediately. People like important things. And is the servant who does the unimportant jobs. Number 6, does not expect thanks. Luke 17 verse 10. In the same way. Okay, the King James. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have just done our duty. That's all. Don't even say thank you. This is my job. That's the seventh. And the last one, a servant will give of his substance. He will give whatever he has. That's why Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6 says, if I'm a servant, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my honor? I mean, these are signs of who a servant is. But listen to this. There is a progression from servant to sonship. The faithful servant will be considered like a son. Jesus told the disciples, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. Then in John 20, it says, John 20, my children, have you any bread, any fish? There is a progression from servant to become a son. Once you are not born in the house, you are not a son. But you can enter as a servant. And the faithful servant becomes a son. David started as a servant. He was armor bearer to Saul. That's how he entered into the palace. And so this morning, my prayer is we will start. Everyone here will see himself as a servant to apostle. When you are that faithful servant, you become a son. Who is a son? In 5 minutes, let me give you the signs of sonship. Number 1. And you see, you must check yourself that these things are in me. John 8:35. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever.
If you are
a son of this house, you will never leave this house. I didn't hear amen. I didn't hear a good amen. If you are a son or a daughter of this house, even when you are insulted for something you did, even when you are rebuked and corrected openly by mistake or whatever, you will never leave this house. This is your house. Even if you are angry, as for being angry, it happens. Sons get angry at their father sometimes. You can ask my son, are you angry with me? Don't ask him.
He'll
say yes. But no matter what,
no matter what
indignity, no matter what trouble, no matter what insult or what conflict there is, you will never leave this house. I didn't hear loud amen. I said you will never leave this house. Even if you are angry and you go out, you will come back tomorrow morning for breakfast. That's the son. Let me tell you something. Many years ago, my wife was working for the prophets. And there was an issue at work. And she was sad. Sad. Where is sat there?
Hey,
you know the prophet. He sat there.
Hey, prophet,
and she was so broken.
We said,
no problem. So she came home. And then when Tamale we were home. Then a few months later, prophet was in Kumasi.
Oh,
having a program there. They said, let's go. So we came to Kumasi. And he was there, and we were there. We had a nice convention together. And we were very happy. At a point, I was talking to the bishop at that time. And he said, Patrick, well done. And I was surprised. I said, what have I done? That is good. He said, for coming. I said, oh, I have to come. Then he said, somebody might have left. I have to confess. Leaving never occurred to me. The thought to leave, I was like, should I have thought about it? It never occurred to me. It's like, this is my house. How many are here, your father has knocked you before? Or caned you before? If you are a proper child, you come back for more. The thought should not occur to you. You may grumble, but I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving my connection with apostle. If that thought occurs to you, when you are in church, some thoughts should not even pass. I know bad thoughts come to our mind, men. Bad thoughts come to our mind. I know. But some of them in this environment should not even occur to you. Leaving a son is forever. Number two, a son looks like the father. John 14, verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There must be some resemblance. Something. If you have been a servant, to be a son, you must pass through a servant stage. If you have been a servant for even a little time, something of apostle must rub off on you. The way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he cuts his hair, the way he has a beard, something about him, I mean the way he preaches, the way he talks, something about him, I mean there's something about lighthouse pastors. Everywhere you go, when you start talking, they can catch you from your words. One day, prophet was preaching in a prison. When he preached, someone shouted, "Mercy!"
Mercy!
From the prison. There's a church member here. How do I know? Mercy! He shouted, "Mercy!" There must be some sign that you are of Emmanuel Christian. I mean, a way of talking, the way of speaking. There must be a sign. The way you pray, the way you read your Bible. And you see, I don't mean strangers. A stranger can be different. You are allowed to be different. But those who are desirous of being sons, there must be some resemblance. Number three, a son loves the father. A son loves the father. I was talking to Bishop Lufio just yesterday or the day before. And he said, people don't understand that we love Bishop Dagiwale. We love him. They say we worship him. Who is he? We are making him into a god. And you see, it's difficult to argue. Because it's true, we love him. He cannot come up my country and I will not go there. We sincerely love that man. A couple of times he has come to my house. I should give him my bed, my guest room. You are joking. He got the master bedroom. I took my wife. Let's pack out. Let's go and sleep somewhere. Joy, pack your things. Go to the hall. Go somewhere. He cannot come to my house and he has I have a better room than him. It's not possible. He has the master. We packed out. Why? Ask Bishop Kufio. We love this man. We love this man. Are we sentimental? Are we emotional?
Oh.
I'm being honest and practical. And if you are here, you are a son, you can say clearly and boldly, I love this man. And when you see him sitting there, you just look at him. Just sit here, and I say, I like the way he's sitting. I admire this man. I love this man. I can see him. I want a tablet like his. I want a tablet. For many years, I didn't want tablets. Then the prophet had a tablet and was getting. I said, "Hey, he has one. I'm gonna get one too."
Hey, prophet, tablet.
Why I love this man? You are here this morning. You must
feel something in your heart for this man. I really love this man. I'm not boasting, I'm not telling anybody. And if you don't understand, because you don't love him, maybe you don't know him, maybe you are a bit on the outside, but I love this man. Number four, a son honors the father. John 8:49. Jesus said, I have not a devil, but I honor my father. You know, I mean, Bishop Dag, I honor him.
Bishop Dag,
I didn't do anything about it, but I'm very happy that my son shares the birthday with the prophets. I didn't do anything. I have no credits. You also do.
Oh, the apostle.
You have a twin here. I had no part, I had no hand in it. But I'm proud. My son had a birthday with the prophets. I don't know whether he's happy, but I'm very happy. I honor him. There's nowhere he will be that I'll not be walking behind him. You know, for me, many years ago, when we were at the Koligono Cathedral, the best place to sit was on the row behind him.
Hey,
because I came from Tamale. I was not in Accra. So when I come from Tamale, they'll be trying to find a place for me. And I'll always try and, you see, behind him is never packed.
There's always
space there. So I always try and fit myself on that place.
Behind him.
I remember once I was somewhere.
Went to
a meeting somewhere, and then there were front row chairs, and he was sitting at the front there, and they gave me a front row chair somewhere. So I was sitting at the front here, and he was at the front here. Then they came and sacked me. So please get up, there are more important men have come. So I was lifted up.
Said,
okay, come and sit at the second row behind you. They didn't know. That was my preference.
I said,
now I'm promoted. Thank you for sacking me from there. This is where I want to sit. Right behind him.
Yeah.
Honor the father. You are here. Honor him. Obey the father. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. Some children don't obey. But if you are here, apostle should not struggle to tell you what to do. He should not be thinking, will you or will you not obey? He should be confident that I can tell you, do this or do this. Prophet can tell myself and my wife what to do, where to go, what to come. He doesn't struggle to give us instructions. In my house, when I hear daddy, I'm confused. Because they say daddy said, but I didn't say
daddy.
So now I understand, in my house there are two daddies. There's me daddy. And there's prophet daddy. And both words are used interchangeably in my house. I mean, daddy said, we are going for must be willing to obey this man. All this is to get the anointing. Let me speed up. Trust him. Trust him. Never think that
what he's saying, there may be some ulterior motive. When they say move here, why should I move? Because he wants to.
No, I
trust him. I trust him. A father, a son trusts his father. You know, one day my younger son asked me for something. We're talking about something with Kofi. Then my pin number came up. I know it. You also know it. You don't know my pin number.
My
brother knows it. It's the same one. He knows it.
Yeah, now I say.
You know, my brother told me, Daddy, it's time to change it.
Papa, fetula nomore ya gago ya bank.
They know my pin number. Why?
Come on, kala.
Tell my children.
Come on, baka. So
they are the last to steal from me.
Baka store ba mputse di itse.
It should be easily possible. If prophet apostle asks you, bring your ATM card, he will never ask you. He will never ask you.
Apostle like ATM.
But if he does, you should never hesitate. You will say that, oh, I'm being extreme. No. A son, I mean, what would he take that he can't give you 10 times over? Even if he takes, it's an honor that he knows that he trusted you enough to ask you. You must trust the father. You must trust this man. That's the only way you can get the anointing on his life. That's the only way. You can come to every meeting and sit at the front row. But if you don't trust him, you don't accept him as a father, you will not inherit him. Only sons inherit fathers. Even sons can be adopted. But otherwise, you're out. And this morning, the anointing for starting. This is church growth. I've not forgotten. I'm very focused on what I do. I'm also very melancholic. I'm very focused on what I'm doing. This is church growth. But to grow this church, you need anointing. And to get the anointing, it's very difficult. But the easiest is to get it from the Father.
Hallelujah.